All right, from Foster Beach to Inglewood, from Edgewater to Marquette Park, from the Loop to Humboldt Park, from the shores of Lake Michigan to the old Chicago Stadium, from flea markets to bar stools, many have written about our city since we were incorporated back in 1837. Well, there's now a new book out called We Speak Chicagoese, which features short stories and creative essays and poems about Chicago by some of the top literary voices, including WGN's very own Rick Hogan, ever to roam the Windy City streets. And that voice, it pounds, it pulsates, and it oozes with city life. And We Speak Chicagoese gives the Chicago voice its due and then some. And joining us to talk about it all is one of the authors, and that is Dennis Foley. Good morning to you, Dennis.
Hey, Dave, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I was saying to you, I was reading a couple stories a day,
which
is a great way to really enjoy each story or poem in the book. You don't have to read it all at the same time. It's a nice kind of like daily little read. There were elements of each story that I found myself relating to, each of them in some way.
And, you know, it's pretty cool when you say that, too, the reading of the stories, a couple of them a day. It's almost like going out and visiting parts of the city.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to the, you know, the north side and tool around for on Saturday in the following week. I'm going to come downtown and ride my bike up to, head up to the far south side, whatever it might be. So it's a great way to get a taste of it by
totally.
Going through those stories. Like
totally.
That.
Totally. Now, what was the process like putting together the book? Because, you know, the authors of stories that have gone over generations. What did you and Bill review before you picked them for the book?
And, you know, with this, too, it was a process that took about 3.5 years because,
wow.
You know, once we put the word out there that we were looking for submissions, you know, you get different writers and everybody has things going on. So, yeah, sure, Dennis, you know, we'd like to throw in for that. And then you check back 6 months later. Hey, how's it going? Do you have the story ready? And then what happened, too, was kind of cool is once we started to get in a couple of the stories from, like, some of the bigger names, like a Stuart Dybeck and a Rick Hogan, then people are like, oh, okay, yeah, mine's coming. It'll be there shortly. So then when we had them, it was a matter of, you know, we were looking for those stories that had a feel for what the, you know, our perspective of what the city is like, you know, and I love the city. It's a beautiful place. It also has, you know, toughness and grit to it as well. And I think those stories kind of bring out the beauty and the grit.
They do. And very well covered in this book. Now, you never asked the question of which of your children are your favorite, but you must have some favorites in the book that you were like, ah, wow, this was a great find, or wow, what a great story here.
Yeah, and as you said, too, it's tough because there are so many of the stories that I like. One of the things I would point out, too, though, is, you know, there's a gentleman that has a couple poems in here. His name is John Goslowski, and he's considered the foremost Polish-American poet in the United States. And he was born, in Germany in a camp there after World War II.
Wow.
His parents had been slave laborers. And then he has a poem in here, Chicago, that was pretty cool because we set it next to Carl Sandburg's Chicago, and it was kind of cool to get a feel for it. But he writes about his poems are generally about his father and his views of, you know, looking back on that experience that he had to endure when he was in Germany.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's
very
cool.
Very, very powerful stuff.
Yeah, tell me about some of the other authors in the book.
Yeah, and, you know, I mentioned Stuart Dybeck. We opened the book with his story, Field Trips. And I had met him years ago and was, you know, listening to him give a speech. And he just had me rolling in the aisles talking about when he was a kid and his the nuns from his grade school took him out to a couple field trips. And they went to, you know, the Cook County Jail, because that's where a lot of you are going to end up anyways. And then also, following year,
I had a couple nuns teach me. I get that. Yeah.
And the jail trip didn't go so well. So the next year, they took him to the stockyards to watch animals be slaughtered. So,
nice.
You know, he paints those pictures of, you know, those events and does it in a very cool way with a kid's point of view.
But real Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Real Chicago in every sense of the word. Rick Hogan talks about his father being a newspaper man and an author, which I didn't know, and writes about, you know, the sounds of the typewriter that he grew up with all of his life.
Yeah, and I thought, really, what a cool way to start that story is, you know, it's, you know, the first sounds that I hear, and you can almost hear the rattle, the tat-tat-tat of the typewriter keys going, and talking about how in the old town apartment where he grew up, his parents would have a number of people there, you know, famous playwrights and authors and actors and actresses and boxers, and his little kids, you know, they would be awoken in the middle of the night to say goodnight to all the good people. people, and they would walk out, and you know, they're nine and his brother or whatever, 9 and 11 years old, and they're in their pajamas and in a room filled with smoke and booze, and they came out to say goodnight to the folks. So
nice. I can read Rick, and I can listen to Rick all day long. He's got the pipes, man.
Yeah, and you know, that story too, one of the things I really like, because he was talking about how he really looked up to you know, to one of our most famous authors here in Chicago, to the Nelson Algren. And it involves Nelson Algren in this story. So it's pretty cool how, you know, he had this kind of like hero worship almost, and then it kind of dissolves as the story goes along.
Some very personal stories and some stories we all know about. But one of the most impactful ones that I read in here was that of Inglewood.
Oh, yeah. This poem here by R.J. Eldridge. When I contacted him read about some of the work that he's done for, you know, working with some of the youth in Chicago and getting stories from them and getting them to use their creative side. And he submitted this poem to me. I was blown away because it has this, and when I heard him read it, he read it, he came out and read it at the release party for this, which was held at the Beverly Arts Center. And it was just so powerful. The audience, there were a couple hundred people there that night, and everybody, you know, was just like one of those things where you say people were spellbound.
Yeah.
They were spellbound because it has, hey, you know, he's writing about a place that he knows and the problems that are going on. And he does it in a way where it kind of makes you kind of almost like it opens your eyes a little bit.
That's very cool. There are stories in here that span generations. One of the most famous is Carl Sandburg, Chicago, hog butcher of the world, toolmaker, stacker, weed player with railroads and the nation's freight handler, stormy, husky, brawling city of the big shoulders. You know, I love that that's included in this book because it's really one of the most prolific writings about our Windy City.
Yeah, and we wanted to have a taste of some of the, you know, those writers that brought us to our, you know, that connected us with the past, Sandburg certainly being one of them. And then one of the others that I really liked in there, too, is Sherwood Anderson, you know, is known for being, you know, he was here in the days of, you know, the early, you know, 1910s and 20s. And he was also going back and forth to Ohio, and he had written the book Winesburg, Ohio, which really kind of brought him his fame. But, you know, he was here as part of the, you know, hanging out over there at Bug House Square and stuff, giving speeches and in the Dill Pickle Club. And he has a cool story here about, you know, a town out in the middle of nowhere, which is really present day Palos Heights.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So. Now, you know, Carl Sandburg, you know, his legendary words about the Windy City. How do you think that's impacted the history of Chicago, but also what other people have written about the city? Because that's one of the ones you first look at when you talk about the city of Chicago.
Yeah, and I think, too, you know, with that as well is, you know, how do other people outside of the city kind of look at it, too?
Right.
You know, I went to a little school down in Memphis many moons ago, and, you know, you were the Chicago guy.
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
Hey.
And then when still they, to this day. Yeah. It's mafia and everything people talk about. Oh, yeah.
And then you hear, and they knew I was a Southside kid, so they thought, oh, you know, but it's like, in a way, you know, I think Sandburg really, in that poem, you know, he's saying, yeah, you know, we are these things. You know, we are, there's some negative things that are being, you know, thrown about in that poem too. But he says, hey, but so what? He goes, because we're also this and we're also that. And we are the place that, and you know, we're the bold, you know, the bald headed slugger looking to go ahead and knock balls into the outfield. And, you know, he has these, you know, we might have our shortcomings, but we have far more strengths than that. And say what you want, and we're going to keep moving on. And I think that's a mentality that people in the city have.
And believe. Absolutely.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolute Beginners talks of discovering the lake that's always been there.
Yeah. And, you know, Joe Mino, the author, and this is, I always like to kind of joke around, say, you know, he's one of the most successful and creative young writers in the city. But he's sneaking up on that 40-year-old fence right now, too.
But he's
a talented guy, and this is a really cool story because, it's dealing with him and a girlfriend and what's going on. But at the very end, they kind of see all this is going on under the watchful eyes of an older couple, and they just realize they have so much more yet to discover in life.
It was
very cool.
Yeah, as I said, when I read through these stories, there was always just an element of each story living in the city all my life that I connected to as well.
Right. Yep. And I know one of my, you know, there's some funny ones in there, sad ones too, but one that I really liked too was by, you know, Patty McNair, Patricia McNair, who's a professor at Columbia, and she has a story in here about, you know, young girls in their, you know, 15, 16-year-old stage there, kind of coming in from the suburbs and going to hang out at Foster Beach.
Yes, they're hanging there,
and it's like a place that will always pull her back. And what's kind of funny is, you know, I had Patty as a professor when I was at, you know, as a student at Columbia, and now I've kind of, you know, come back into kind of seeing her every now and then because of her work with the book. And she's still, now she moved back into the city. She's been here for a long time, but she lives probably about five blocks from Foster Beach. So pretty cool.
See, even though growing up in Chicago, that's where we would go on a Friday night or a Saturday, take a girl. That was our inspiration point, if anyone has any reference for that. But and just my own quick story, because every time I think of this, I think of the story is I borrowed, my grandfather passed away. My grandmother kept his car. And I remember saying, you know, my car was a little piece of crap. And I said, can I borrow the car to go take so-and-so down to the beach?
Sure, sure.
And the next day I picked up her, and my great-grandmother was in the back seat. And I was taking them to the bank. And she said, where'd you go last night? And I said, I went to Foster Beach. And she goes, why is there sand all over the back seat of the car? My 95-year-old great-grandmother. And she knew. And she was just, it was one of my favorites.
You were taking a little ride.
Just a little, yeah, we were just, it was cold, you know, it was whatever. Pretty Please. This one, you didn't know where the story was going, obviously. A story about a grandfather, and you really didn't know what was happening until the very end.
Yeah, and you know, this is the
darker
one. Yeah, and this I really wasn't going to include a story of my own in this work, but I had people say, no, put it in, go
I
ahead,
liked
you know,
it,
do
Dennis.
It.
Yeah.
And what I liked about this story is, you know, my own grandfather. This is a story about a grandfather, but it's the grandfather of Italian descent and his relationship with his grandson.
Right.
But my own grandfather came over from Ireland, and he had secrets. And, you know, we didn't find out till he died. And all of a sudden at his funeral, two gentlemen showed up with the flag of the Irish Republic, and his own wife didn't even know. But he had been a gun runner in the IRA and had been imprisoned twice and had been on an 11-day hunger strike. So I said, you know, I'm going to take those kind of secrets and turn them into a story, but, you know, put it in someone else's lap.
Sure.
So
sure.
I had a grandson-grandfather relationship with secrets of their own and pretty
Please. Yeah, that's very cool. Very cool. Well, I'll tell you, I absolutely love the book, and I encourage you folks, I mean, if you're a lifelong Chicagoan and you just moved here and you really want to learn about the city, it's called We Speak Chicagoese, wherever books are sold. Great stories and poems from Chicago writers. Dennis Foley, thank you so much for joining
us. And thanks again for having me on.
Absolutely. All right.
Fun.
We'll be right back on 720 WGN.